Our scripture this morning comes from 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, beginning with verse 8 through verse 16. It's the widow of Zarephath. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you.' So he set out, and he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her, and he said, 'Bring me a little water in a vessel, so that I may drink.' And as she was going to bring it, he called to her, and he said, 'Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand.' And she said, 'As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar, and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, so that we may eat and die.' Now Elijah said to her, 'Do not be afraid. Go and do as I have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth.' Then she went and she did as Elijah said, so that she as well as he and her household ate for many days. And the jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah." This is the word of God this day for us, his children. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you this day for your prophet Elijah. And we thank you, Lord, for his words. We thank you, Lord, for who he was. And we thank you, Lord, for him being obedient to your call and your will. We do thank you, Lord, for the widow this day who listened, who obeyed in a time when so many would have not. So we ask, Lord, this day that you just open up our hearts and our minds for this time that is at hand, for your word to come through. For it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Emptying the vessels. You think about the world that we live in today, we often hear of two groups of people, the haves and the have-nots. You see, most of us in this world here today and in this place, we recognize and we can identify with the haves. You see, the majority of us have plenty to eat. We have a roof over our heads, we got shoes on our feet. Even when we look at the elite in society of today and begin to see what we do not have, it does not take us that long to realize that we still have an abundance when compared to many people throughout our world. Sometimes, though, pride creeps in. You see, we take pride in the fact that we have worked hard for our place in this socioeconomic world that we live in and going up that ladder. We have worked hard, and we deserve all that we have. And we do. We work hard. We deserve what we have. When we see a beggar on the street, we may feel more pity than compassion. As we often, sometimes we might offer that person a few coins or even a dollar bill. We may become frustrated, even angry, if the person says to us, "You know, I'm hurting here. Is there any way you could spare just a little more change?" We think, "How dare they? Who do they think they are?" You see, 1 Kings 17 today, in this story with Elijah and the widow, it is a story of haves and have-nots. We have been introduced to Elijah, if you know anything about 1 Kings, and the first few verses of chapter 8. It is a time of drought in the land, and Elijah has been living off the land in a unique way. He's been fed by the ravens, and he has been drinking water from a wadi, a little pool of water. Through no sweat of his own brow or work of his own hands, he has been taken care of. But now the wadi has dried up, and Elijah moves on at God's command, and he approaches a widow who is gathering sticks. And he asks her for a drink of water. And before she can even get the water, Elijah puts in another request. He says, "Oh, by the way, bring me a bite to eat." And he does not even say please or thank you. Now let's think about this. If this was a story from our lives and we were the widow, how would we respond? Think about what you'd probably say to somebody. Is it any surprise that the woman says, I have no food prepared. Times are hard. I don't have anything to spare. She says, I'm going to fix what I have for myself and my son so that we may eat one last meal and die. In other words, that's it. I don't have anything. You see, is the widow one of the haves, or is she one of the have-nots? You see, she has very little. But Elijah has even less than she has, and he is dependent on her generosity. He urges her to fix just a little cake for him before she even makes anything for herself or her family. He even tells her that the Lord of Israel has said that the jar of meal and the jug of oil will not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she does as he says, and all that he promises her comes true. We say that we put our trust in God. We pray, thank you, Lord, for our daily bread. But how many of us truly live each day? Do we truly live out that each and every day? Do we have the faith of this widow? Do we have the faith of this widow to give our sustenance away? Do we have the faith to give away all that we have? Do we have the faith of Elijah to trust God to provide for us? You see, we may overlook the fact that according to verse 9, the Lord God commanded the widow to feed Elijah. It is also interesting to note that the widow has referred to God as the God of Elijah. That's Elijah's God. As the Lord your God lives, she says in verse 12. Now when the widow steps out in faith and gives food to Elijah, she is not professed follower of God. She says, I really don't follow God. Yet the Lord God has commanded her to do something. And guess what? She does it. The Lord God commanded Elijah to go, and he went. Do we have that kind of faith when God says go? Do we go? The kind of faith that says, when God says to you and I to give, do we give? If we don't, why not? This past week, I went down to the beach for a day and a half. I left Wednesday after lunch, and I got back Thursday night. I went to the Christmas show, took my mom. And we came back Thursday evening late, and I was stopped and done at Walmart, and I was getting gas. It was about 9:30, somewhere along that time, because I got back here, after about 10. So I pump my gas, and this car pulls up over there on the other side. And I'm finishing up, doing everything, getting my little receipt and all this stuff. And this fella comes around the side of the thing and he says to me, basically, hello. But what I heard was, and my mama heard it too. He said, hey, Sister Melinda. Well, of course, I look up and I'm like, well, hey. And I'm thinking, who in the world is this fella and how in the world does he know who I am? And I said, well, hey, how are you? I said, do you know who I am? He says, no, ma'am. I says, well, you called me. He says, I said, hey, howdy, ma'am, or something like that. Can't, you know, well, I thought to myself, okay, I'm not. But I heard it just as plain as day. He said, somebody said, hey, Sister Melinda. Well, that got my attention. And he said, this is my wife. He introduced me. He said, and we're on fumes. He said, we're from Wilmington. He said, we're down on our luck, whatever. He said, anyway, you got a few dollars that I can have, or maybe a little bit of gas. Well, I thought about that thing, and I thought, you know, I'm tired. I've, you know, coming in, but I thought, okay, what am I going to do? I had $6 in my pocket. I gave him the $6 for him to get a sandwich or whatever they could get. That's what I had. I had that much cash. But I had just done my gas with my debit card and done all that. But he said, have you got any? I said, well, let's see what will. And I went over and I put my card in the machine and done the thing. And I let him get gas. And I filled his car up with gas. And the reason I did that was because, not because he said the things he said, but because I heard my name. And it got my attention. I don't know who that fellow was. I'd never seen him before in my life. He might have seen me somewhere, but he said, "Hey, ma'am," but I heard, "Hey, Sister Melinda," and I thought, okay. I paid attention. Perhaps that was one of those times that I needed to pay attention, that I needed to do this. It didn't make me any money. I didn't make no money. I gave away money that night. But I haven't missed it. I haven't lost anything. But it made me feel good. I don't know where he was going. I don't know if he went down the road and was going home. I don't know if he lived around the corner. I don't know if he was from Wilmington or not. But I did what I needed to do for that moment. And we all do that from time to time because we all get in places and situations where we'll say no. Sometimes we don't have it. Or yeah, I'll give you what I have. And I did give him the cash I had on hand, which was not much, but I don't know what he done with it either. I don't know if he went and bought something or put it with something else or whatever. That's not my problem. The problem is whenever God tells us to do something, what do we need to do? We need to do it. Whatever it might be, we need to behave ourselves. We need to bind him. We need to do what the widow did when she's like, "Are you kidding me?" Can you imagine what she could have said? She could have said, "Are you kidding me? I don't have anything to eat. I don't have enough to feed me and my son. And here Elijah wants me to do this." And Elijah doesn't even care about her and her son the way he sounded. He's like, "Give me something to eat first. Then you can feed yourself." But he's doing what God has told him to do, and she's doing. She's minding, and she's beginning to hear, and she's beginning to see, and she's beginning to learn. You see, perhaps today in this world, some of us are selfish. Perhaps we believe that we deserve what we have, that we don't see our food and shelter and clothing as gifts from God's hands, but that we should. You see, the Israelites were surrounded by people who worshiped the gods of Baal. They were all around them. The historians who recorded this story of Elijah are trying to help people of Israel remember that God, the true God of Israel, is in control, that our God is in control. No other gods, those little gods, are there. They're not going to help you out. As hard as we may try to believe it, we are not in control. God is the great provider. Years ago, when I was in my first year of seminary, I had the opportunity to learn about mendicant spirituality. Growing up in the Baptist church, I did not have a lot of use or knowledge of mendicant spirituality, nor did I know much about the Franciscans or the Dominicans. And that means the people of the order of the Franciscan monks and those of St. Dominic, the Dominicans. These orders live a life of simplicity and poverty of the spirit. They're beggars. That is exactly what they do. They are beggars. They fully depend on the generosity of others. That is how they live. They choose this lifestyle to empty themselves out so they can be free to be able to be more like Christ. They let go of all earthly and worldly things. They own nothing. They have nothing. And they beg. And they rely on others for their living. I don't know about you, but once in a while I can be pretty full of myself. We need to learn to empty ourselves of the desire to have more and a need of control. To not have more and a need of control. We always want more, don't we? Have you ever seen somebody just get the most wonderful gift you've ever seen? And they're so happy, and then they turn around and look, "Well, where's the rest? Where's something else?" Have you ever seen some children on Christmas morning or at birthday parties? I can remember little kids and my nephews and my great-nephews especially. They're like, they just tear into those packages and they get all these wonderful things and they're like, "Where's the rest of it?" It's like you've just went through a mountain. And it's because we want more. That's who we are as humans. We seem to want more stuff. We want more things. We're always wanting more. And we always want that need to control our life. But you see, only when we empty ourselves out, just as the widow did and just as Elijah did, when they truly depended upon God and what God was telling them, will our cup truly overflow. You see, we empty ourselves and stand with our hands open in need of God's grace and provision. We demonstrate our dependence on God by letting go, moving, and giving all of what we have. We show that the Lord our God is a sovereign God by living out our faith. That's how we do it, is by living out our faith each and every day of our lives, no matter where we are, no matter who we come in contact with, no matter who's watching, no matter what we're doing. We are supposed to be the same today, tomorrow, and always, not on special days. So the God of Elijah, the God of this widow, who was just beginning to know who he was, our God calls us to empty ourselves out and to truly follow him. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you this day for your word. We thank you, Lord, for who you are in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the time that is upon us, the time that is at hand, that you've allowed us to be in this place this day to hold ourselves up to you, to take account of who we are, to let us look truly in that mirror and to see who we are. And hopefully, Lord, the person that we see is one that is pleasing to you. So, Lord, this day, allow us to truly become the vessels that you want us to be broken and spilled out, to be emptied ourselves out so that we can fill ourselves with you in order to serve those along life's way. Be with us now. Bless our time together. For it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is hymn number 64, Holy, Holy, Holy. Would you stand as we sing?